Sponsored by Factor. The rising cost of fast food is astronomical, and it's terrible for your health. I get the convenience has a big appeal, but you can have extreme convenience and not pay as much for fast food, and have food that tastes great while being great for you, including options like keto, calorie smart, vegan, and veggie. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to your day-to-day life without debating what to eat. And when life gets hectic, Factor is flexible. Change your order up every week with plans from 4 to 18 meals per week, or pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. Get 50% off your first Factor box and 20% off your next month of orders using my link. Click the link in the description or scan the QR code with your phone. Thanks to Factor for sponsoring this video. Subscribe to Factor with my code for a huge discount and to greatly support the channel. Welcome to the podcast that rocked, weekly podcast that talks about news in the world of rock, metal, alternative, and everything in between. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday evening. My name is Luke.
My name is Alex.
And my name is Rowan.
Thank you all so much for tuning in. What will undoubtedly be me trying to make as many disturbed jokes as possible and these two putting up with it. That's right. That type of episode.
Thank you. Down with the sickness of your jokes.
That actually wasn't bad.
I can make some too.
Okay, we're getting boos from Alex though, so you're getting a split
that was
on that.
An instant boo.
Okay, so there you go. Reminder: my podcast hosts have access.
Dad jokes. Yeah. Has a problem with it.
Yeah. So keep in mind, my podcast hosts do have sound effect options as well, in case they want to use them on me. So keep in mind that'll be fair. Also, thanks to Factor for sponsoring us. If you want to use the link, you get a fatty discount, and you'll be helping support the channel. Also, 54 likes will get us to podcast or podcast flopper rock, whatever. 54 likes gets us to festival rock or flopper. We play a random festival generator. We book 5 bands if we get to 54 likes, or if you want to give super chat or YouTube membership donations, that'll get you to your own random festival, which is always a lot of fun and has always gone really well for the people that do it randomly.
Usually better than ours.
Yes, sometimes significantly, like mega budget ones. Also, And just to add on to that, the cherry on top, if you get a channel membership tonight or renew your own or give one away, you'll have access to a new video I just posted a few hours ago. 10 divorced dad rock bands with a definition of what divorced dad rock is from AI. That's right. The dumbest video I've done in a long time. And boy, oh boy, does it deliver. So...
You could probably say Creed is probably number one, right?
I won't give any... Well, I didn't rank them. So it's just a list of 10. However, one of the options you just said is definitely on the list. So, yeah. Also, and I won't say because this is spoiling too much, AI gave 2 suggestions on their own, like 2 bands. I won't spoil it. I'm like, oh my gosh. AI is savage. So there we go. Thank you, guys. Please hit that like button. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. We want the views. It helps us out a ton. Now, if you're ready, can you feel that? Aw, shucks. Because we're on YouTube. We have to say it properly. Ladies and gentlemen, the 25th anniversary of No Mommy, Don't Do It Again. So this got announced a couple days ago. The Sickness 25th Anniversary Tour. Now, I know Disturbed is a hot button name for certain actions of David Draymond in recent years, or even just the recent year. I get it. We're trying to report the news, and I'll give my thoughts, and we'll go through our thoughts on everything else going on as well. We want to get to the news part first. The big news about this is not just a regular tour. This is a full-blown arena tour with 2 legs and some big support. 3 Days Grace and 7 Dust on leg 1, Daughtry and Nothing More on leg 2. Again, these are playing in a lot of like NHL and NBA arenas. So this is a big tour.
Well, so far, everybody seems Disturbed fans are coming out of the woodwork super, super stoked about this tour.
Mm-hmm. And again, this is, please correct me wrong in the chat or you two, has Disturbed ever done a tour this big for arenas like this? Because I know they've done the amphitheaters and packed them before. They've headlined festivals. Have they ever had their own headline arena tour? For the big arenas. Yeah.
I don't remember, because I mean, typically they're like the stadium tours. I don't remember ever hearing of a Disturbed stadium tour.
Me neither.
So this is huge.
Yeah. So, and also I will say this, and I'm not being sarcastic, they got appropriate names to support. They definitely fit the bill for what they're doing with all that. And before I get to Alex and Rowan's thoughts, give them some time. If you do want to go, you better get early to see 7 Dust. That might be your favorite set of the night. So
Fun Dust is fantastic.
Yes.
Over 3 Days Grace, though?
100%.
They are so good. You know, so funny story.
Go ahead, go ahead.
There's no personal bias talking.
Yeah.
Seven Dust. There was this interview with Chad Kroeger of Nickelback one time, and he was like, the only band I never want to perform after or near or around is Seven Dust because they are just that good. So if Nickelback says that they don't want to play anywhere near you because they're that good and everybody loves Nickelback so much.
Yeah, that's a stamp of approval, though. From what I understand, if I remember if I remember that interview, because he was talking about they were on the same day of a festival years and years ago, and they saw them, I was like, we can't top that. What the heck are we going to do? And like,
it was nothing but a compliment.
Last year, Gretchen and I shot Seven Dust with Alter Bridge, or Alter Bridge's headline tour. Gretchen had only known the name Seven Dust. She didn't grow up with them or anything, but she was an instant fan after the live show. Like, instant, let me check out their music. I need to know more. Also, if Seven Dust is dad rock, your dad's pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
So
that's a cool dad. For sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. You could have a cool divorced dad, even, you know. It's possible. Come on, it's possible. So that being said, and I want to make sure this is very clear, I understand that Disturbed is gonna be forever, at least in the last few years, how do I want to put this? Tainted a little bit. I have a little bit of a hot button issue when people bring up stuff, especially some of the things David Draymond has said, from the harmless and boomer-esque to completely going over to Israel and signing missiles that are going to be dropped to destroy people. There's a big range. And I get that. And I just want to squash that right now. It's like, yeah, I don't agree with that at all. But at the same time, I want to talk about the news. This is a big, fatty tour. I'm happy for Seven Dust. I'm happy for Daughtry. I'm happy for 3 Days Grace, the reunion with both singers all going back and forth with the guitars and stuff. Again, this is a well-booked tour going across. So first question to Alex and Rowan. And again, let me know in the chat. Let me know if you want, like, your thoughts on this also. Alex and Rowan, I'll ask Alex first. Have you seen Disturbed live?
I have.
Thoughts?
No.
Rowan, you have not. Okay. Alex?
They're good. Okay. I really dig the band. Like, the band, I've known these guys. I've met them multiple times over the years, as we do. And they're super cool dudes. And not always, you know, again, stepping away from all of the issues in recent years. Yes, I haven't seen them in many years as of late. But just performance-wise, they are good showmen, you know? They put on a good show, they sound good, and they've got a solid, strong fan base.
Dedicated fan base for 25 years now. I mean, this is their debut. This wasn't like their album that blew up. This was the album that exploded in the nu metal heyday. And I'll say this too. Go ahead, Ron.
I'm sorry. It's also... again, I'm probably like speaking a little bit more for myself here, but for at least me and a lot of people I know personally, it was like a good gateway band into like hard rock and metal. Like Down With The Sickness, you couldn't escape that song. And then like it was just like a domino effect where it's just like, oh, I love this song, I'm gonna listen to more. Oh crap, I love this song too. And it was just like over and over again with that album, like Voices, or like, oh my god, what's like Stupefy Into the Abyss or something. Or no, wait, that's not the name of the title. I'm blanking on it, but like, sorry.
It's okay. And like going out to the points too, I've seen them at least 3 times live, shot them 3 times. I've never met any of them. So my opinion on that too, as well, I don't have direct contact with any of them. I've never talked with them one-on-one. I believe my wife did a meet and greet for them years ago that she won or something like that. Gretchen might be able to fill people in on that. Regardless, this is a huge deal for rock and rock bands. And I make fun of the divorced dad rock. This is probably a better example of a divorced dad rock tour just for the lineup alone. And even if I'm not personally, me, not Alex or Rowan, if you're going to direct your hate, direct it at me, not them. I openly admit, and I've said before, I am not a fan of some of the recent stuff Disturbed has done music-wise, or some of the behavior of David Draymond. But again, I also want to point out, this is not just David Draymond on behalf of Disturbed when he says this stuff, you know? So
that's one thing that we always kind of have to work as, you know, consumers on the other side of this. We always have to remember, like, the front man is not the entire band. And a lot of people have a hard time separating the band from the mouthpiece.
Correct.
So I think this is one of those instances where you really have to be like, okay, he is not Disturbed. We can't hold the whole band accountable for anything that one person has done.
I think that's well said. So a lot of big stuff happening for Disturbed in 2025, starting February 25th in Nampa. I know Alex usually does the tours, but this is kind of the big honker. May 17th ending in Las Vegas, Nevada. Oh, it's going to be nice and disgustingly hot, but they'll probably be inside, so it doesn't matter. Get your tickets if you want. I understand everyone's going to be a little touchy on this subject for this one, and you have the right to feel however you want. Let me know in the comments, though, would you go to this arena tour? Because, again, this will be a full production spectacle. If you've ever seen Disturbed live or seen footage of them, you know they put a lot of effort into their pyro and special effects and everything.
So the other bands just are worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was going to say the same thing. Like, Three Days Grace and Seven does. How do you pass that up?
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. I mean, even Daughtry and Nothing More. All four of the openers on this tour are fantastic. They did definitely a
strong
solid lineup.
Strong choices.
They marketing and publicity wise, and also just gathering together the names to work with each other, they definitely worked with the right ballpark of bands. Wow, it was really hard to get that speech out. They did a great job of picking bands that have the same fan base and audience to work together there. Hey, YouTube audience, you just heard a cut that's not going to make it into the podcast feeds. Congratulations. We're going to move on because we do have quite a bit of news that like drops over the past week and today, oddly enough, but we wanted to start with that. The big news for Celebration for a lot of people. If you've seen Terrifier 3, you're not alone because it was number one in the box office. How did this movie get to number one? Terrifier 3, number one, beating names like Wild Robot and Joker Folie à Deux. Now, I know that.
Well, Joker Folie à Deux is not a high bar.
It's not. But at the same time, when you think about the budget, Joker Folie à Deux was way up there. I'm pretty sure Terrifier 3 maybe had a budget of a ham sandwich.
Oh, yeah. The second one at least did. And the first one, definitely.
So
I think they're still kind of on that. Mm-hmm. That like independence, they're still totally not big movie budgets for sure.
Absolutely. And if I'm correct, there were people that paid to be in the movie. That's right. Yeah,
that's sometimes like especially like crowdfunded movies. That's sometimes like a reward or something.
That's
like that.
Right.
Like, oh, hey, you'll get a producer credit. Yeah. Or you'll get like the
Kickstarter funds. Yeah, I know what you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
Well, Ice Nine Kills are now in a box office number one film. That's pretty big. And the reason I sell all that, I want to see if it has the stats, because it did a breakdown. Like, I got the announcement yesterday and today. The video itself, like, is taken from the movie. That's put on YouTube right now. You have to be 18 or over to watch because it's not exactly PG what you see going on in that scene. No, we cannot show it ever. Goodness. A work of art, though, is available right now. Come on, mouse. You guys still there? Okay, good. Some of these websites have like so much going on, like even my computer's like starts crapping out on it. But yeah, Ice Nine Kills going on tour. They're going to be doing tons of fun stuff. They'll be announced for Sick New World. I didn't even see them on the lineup for Sick New World this upcoming year. We'll get to Sick New World later. Maybe they're making more announcements. We'll get to the Sick New World later anyway. However, it's not all great news as the drummer from Ice Nine Kills has left the band. Yeah, that's a big old bump. Yeah. Unique timing in that as well. I don't think that was intentional. I could be wrong. I don't know. But Patrick Gallant, is that how you pronounce his name? I apologize. Never met him. I'm terrible.
It sucks.
Gallant, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob.
What sucks is that like there's like no, at least from the articles that we've seen, there really isn't like a clear reason. It was just kind of like a thing where it's just like, hey, I'm just leaving the band. I'm starting a new chapter in my life. And not even, and only he's responded. So the band hasn't kind of come out with the details.
Yeah.
But it is weird timing.
Yes. That's what I noticed too. Like, this is a celebration weekend. This is an achievement. And the same weekend, we get this statement. Performing with Ice Nine Kills has been an incredible experience, and I can't thank my brothers in INK enough for their trust and faith in me throughout the past 6 years since 2018. That's when Ice Nine Kills really blew up, too, with the silver screen, like, exploded. That being said, I made the difficult decision to part with Ice Nine Kills. I'm excited to watch and continue their success as I pursue other creative and musical projects. I would like to thank you all for your continued support for my endeavors. I'm looking forward to the next chapter of my life and career, so keep your eyes or your ears open for what's to come. This is not my departure from music, like Rowan was talking about, too. That's a very fine statement. There doesn't seem to be animosity that I'm aware of. It's not anything ugly. But boy, oh boy, that is, the timing on that has to be awkward.
Timing is what makes me think that there is something we're not privy to yet, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you just like got like this surge of popularity, it's weird to then leave the band then. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Sure.
And that could just also be
go ahead, Rose.
One of those things where, it could be one of those things where it was like they did hit such massive success because Ice Nine Kills, they're kicking ass. You know, they're doing fantastic things right now. Teaming up with Terrifier 3, perfect example of that. They're everywhere. You can't escape Ice Nine Kills. Maybe they just reached that point for him where he was comfortable. Like, you know what? I think I've done what I wanted to do here. Maybe it's time for me to step away.
And that's okay.
Why not coast for a little bit then, you know?
Maybe. I mean, they're doing their own headline tour again this year. I think like leg two or leg three with in this moment. They're also opening for Metallica. But in my mind, they're like, well, you're also giving up more Metallica opening spots. So I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to say. Again, I'm hoping it's not anything chaotic or ugly or weird. It doesn't appear to be. That's the best we can hope for in this business because it happens a lot. But going back to sometimes it's just time you want to move on. That's okay. And every other job and area in the world that you would have employment, people do that every day. You know, you just want to move on. That's okay. Interesting weekend for Ice Nine Kills. You can check out, I'll put the link to the video on the pinned comment for this, and I'll put it on the Rock, the podcast, The Rock post that we do later. Yeah, we cannot play it. Not a chance. It's literally, it might as well be like a clip from a Saw movie. You know, it's like that level of violent. So
it's goofy violent. Yeah, it's like 80s slasher violence. You know, it's so over the top that you kind of just have fun with it.
Yeah, it's definitely goofy. I mean, you look at the main character, you can't expect anything too serious.
The clown. Yeah.
Come on now. I want my horror movie serious, and this is your guy. Okay, got it.
Dude, that guy, he's a director too, I believe. It's like one of those things, but that guy is having the time of his life in the playing the character.
I've not seen the movies. If I'm correct, he never says a word.
He doesn't. No.
What a gig. What an acting gig. So do you have to have for that?
Watch the movies, man. Especially for Halloween.
I've seen clips. Yeah, I've seen clips of his facial expressions and stuff. It's great. I'm just saying, as an actor, you hit the jackpot.
I know. Especially Terrifier 2. Terrifier 2 is personally my favorite so far. That's like a heavy metal magazine turned into a movie.
I mean, from what I understand, this has quite the cast also. Ice Nine Kills. If I'm correct, Chris Jericho's in this one as well.
He does make an appearance. Yeah.
Okay. That fits right in there. So
Chrissy Fox. She was in Knee High Fox. They're a good band. Yeah.
Also,
I think they're married, but she's married to or in a long term relationship with Spider-One from Power Man 5000. And she makes an appearance in the film as well.
Okay. Wow.
So fun connections all across the rock world.
Power Man 5000 would be a good fit for a movie like this too, somehow. I don't know how well they'd put it in for Terrifier 4, but they're
affiliated with Rob Zombie, and that guy
makes
horror movies too. Yeah.
Also, I was going to say, they're going to make Terrifier 4. They're going to make it. You can't have this success with little budget and not make a number 4. So.
And now the next movie, they'll probably have a budget that's more than just a McDonald's value meal.
Yeah, it's true. They could actually go to Chili's with the budget this time. And they'll probably
Maybe Outback Steakhouse.
Whoa, that's okay. If they can be number one for 2 weeks, maybe we'll get there. Okay, got to give it some time. Someone just said Terrifier 2 is over 2 hours long. That's a long runtime for a...
I'm sorry, is that a bad thing?
It's just a long runtime for a novelty slasher jokey movie. Usually don't see that. So
I know, but like every major blockbuster is trying to push the 3 hour mark. It's true. At this point.
Okay, before we get to our next music point, Gretchen, if you're listening, feel free to chime in. Have either of you seen the movie Poor Things that came out like 2 years ago? Not a music movie.
Yeah, no, that was like last year, and that's like one of my favorite movies from last year.
You liked it
with Emma Stone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh no, Gretchen and I hated that movie so much. We were laughing at it, confused at it, cringing at it. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Philistine.
That's fine. You can call me that. Maybe if I'm not smart enough to enjoy that movie, that's fine. I'll live with that decision.
That was just like, that was like a steampunk comedy with like elements of a Clockwork Orange. It was awesome.
See, everything was right except the comedy part. I was not laughing at anything in that. Yikes. So
I'm laughing at Gretchen's comment.
Yes, Gretchen. I want my money back that I did not pay for. Yeah, we watched it on streaming. So
Cinephiles in the chat, shame Luke for his poor taste in movies.
That's fine. Hey, cinephiles in the chat, watch Poor Things and let me know what you thought about it. Also, don't watch with any family or people that you have go to church with or anyone that might think less of you. Boy, oh boy, will they never talk to you again.
I watched it with my dad and he's and our relationship was fine afterwards.
Sorry. We had like Gretchen and I decided like that was like a Friday night and it's like, let's watch this. I know she won the Academy Award for it. Let's watch it. 2 hours later, we were like, so thank you.
You want my time back.
Yes. Thank you all. That was Rowan versus Luke on Poor Things on our outdated movie review.
Way if we're doing movies movie. Now, the movie I was mad at recently was Megalopolis, but we're not going to get into that.
I haven't seen that, but I've seen people complain, but
it's garbage.
Okay, fair enough. So I have a film degree. I don't disagree with Luke. Okay, there you go. Okay, we can't keep doing this. We got to move on. We got to move on to the real.
So derailed.
I know. I apologize. That one shook Gretchen and I, though. It was worth bringing up at least this 1 minute. So as we move on, it's now time to go back to Las Vegas, or at least in 2025, because surprise, surprise, the Sick New World lineup was announced and the podcast that rocked was right when we reported it that it would be Metallica.
Woo!
Yeah. We're a source. That's right.
Psychic.
Oh, hang on. Where is it? There we go.
Yes, that is correct. I understand that many other people were also right about it and Metallica kind of leaked it, but we were still right. That's the point. Still counts. It counts for us. Sick New World Festival, one-day festival, April 12th, 2025, Las Vegas Festival Grounds, same place as the last 2 years. Headlined by Metallica and Linkin Park. Those are two big, ginormous bands. Now, I'm going to make sure both my co-hosts have plenty of time to talk about the festival side of this. Look at the lineup, everything. It's on screen right now. I'll try to scroll around back and forth. Let me zoom out a little bit. Do it this way so you can see a little bit more. You got to kind of squint your eyes a little bit, but I promise you can make it all out.
I got to say, when we first like saw this and everything, or at least when I first saw this, something that kind of like noticed was like a lot of like kind of like legacy bands, you know, especially from like the 80s and 90s, you know?
And they did something like that last time, too. They had a stage for like the industrial EDM rock style stuff, which is fine with me.
Yeah, it was kind of like it's a lot of the bands that like I'm not trying to be mean here. They were kind of like middle of the road in terms of like popularity. They weren't like the big names, but they had like a decent following. You know, you had Testament, you have Exodus, you have Filter, you know, like bands people can recognize, but like you probably don't hear from them much, you know.
And I get that. One thing that people have noticed, and again, I have no direct contact like in with a festival like this. I love the people from Riot Fest. I love the people from Arklatex Festival. Arklatex, hit us up. Hope you guys are doing well. But with Sick New York, I don't have any in like that. One thing that people have noticed, and I saw it also, there are definitely fewer bands this year than the previous two bands by quite a big margin. And I think the reason is because this festival is going to be wholly redone to accommodate Metallica.
Well, yeah, you got all the thrash metal bands.
Yeah, well, them too. But yeah. We don't know if they're going to do the Snake Pit. We don't know how the stage layout's going to be going to work. We don't know if it's going to be still a 5-stage festival or not. All I know is it's going to be bonkers. This festival is a good conglomerate of heavy music over the past 20 years. I mean, you're going over to some of the like, not main headliners, but under that, like supporting act headliners, Queens of the Stone Age, Evanescence. You have AFI and the Return of Acid Bath, Gojira, who are really running for Grammy nominations for a Song of the Year and things like that, which they should get. It was actually a cultural milestone, but that's besides the point. Grammys are weird. But then you have other bands like 311. You know, there's quite a variety when you break it down.
It's super fun. This is my favorite, like one of my favorite festivals to do year over year. Obviously, we've only had 2 years so far, but the first two were super fun. I had a blast at both, and I'm super stoked about this one, too. I mean, obviously, the fewer bands than previous years does kind of bum me out because it's always super cool to go see like this mass amount of bands all at once with all of your friends from around the world. So I am bummed that there's not quite as many artists on this lineup this year. But again, to accommodate for such a big name like Metallica, some of the budget is definitely going to be divvied differently.
And Linkin Park is also going to get a fat chunk of that pie also with the return of Linkin Park touring, especially at a festival setting. That might be their first festival performance. And in Vegas with Metallica, that's pretty huge. You can't say that they're not putting in the effort to get a big name, even if not everyone's in love with the lineup.
Yeah. So I will say,
go ahead, Ron. No, go ahead.
I will say I missed it the first time I looked at it, but now like looking back at it again, they're at the very bottom. It's like kind of like easy to miss them. But like I'm seeing 7 hours after Violet, Chavo's side project, and we have Darren Malakian's side project, Scars on Broadway. This is just speculation, but it'd be cool if they did something here because we got like two members of System of a Down there. That's complete wish fulfillment. But
System headlined this year technically, and the year before, if I'm correct. So this is like a System of a Down festival. But this year, minus the performance, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what else they have.
If they do something together, if they just interact in some way, that would just be fun to see.
Metallica brings out System of a Down to do a song together. I mean, they'll be in Vegas anyway.
Or even just Darren and Chavo, you know?
That's true. I mean, that'd work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, also, someone just wrote in the chat, the stages at Las Vegas must be small for Falling in Reverse to not make an appearance. Yeah.
We're not letting them live that down.
I won't give the golf clap. However, that was fine. That was a good comment. I will compliment that one.
Of this lineup, who are you most excited to see? Luke and Rob.
Yeah. See, I'm all over the place. I've never shot Metallica. So if I even had that opportunity, of course I would go to see that. Never shot Linkin Park either. The whole Linkin Park situation is still a muddied mess. Is that fair to say? But I'm still interested. Gojira, you will always see me clawing to shoot over and over again. I saw Mastodon this year. Ton of fun. They have the video boards. It's always great. Bands I want to see that I've never shot before, but I have seen or I've never shot them or never seen them. The Hives were at Riot Fest. I didn't get to shoot them. They were a blast. Scowl, which is a hardcore band, they're great. I've been following them since early last year. They're a ton of fun. They're on the bottom row. So there's definitely bands on here that would entice me to come see it. And especially Lacuna Coil. I haven't shot them in like 10 years. So I know they are. So if I'm correct, they got a new guitarist now too, if I'm correct.
Well, I don't know.
I think so.
Okay, so personally, I know like Metallica and Linkin Park are like the big names and all that stuff, but like at the same time, I've seen Metallica live and like, again, it's a fun show, but it's like, I'm more interested now in just like seeing the bands I have not gotten the chance to see live. So out of those, definitely Mastodon. That's like out of all the bands here that I have not seen, Mastodon is like my favorite. So that would just be really sick.
It's a fun jam band to see live that's heavy and it's trippy because they have the video boards with all like the acid trip visuals and stuff. So
I know, you're pretty much just like doing like an acid trip simulation going to a Mastodon show, at least from the footage I've seen from like everyone else.
Yeah. Any other bands you would want to see, Rowan, before Alex gives her list?
Let's see here. Gojira would be amazing, honestly. Yeah, just like, again, they've just been riding like, they've just been riding a great wave recently, and I would just love to be there for that. Refused as well, but that's just because they're also kind of like, they're retiring too, so like, seeing them when I can. And finally, Deer in Gray, which in my opinion is a very underrated band.
Yeah, I had a friend say the same thing. They were supposed to see them, but their tour canceled years ago. So that could be like a sleeper one for that. I think last year.
Oh, yeah.
2024, Alex was there for this because we met up. She was with her partner and I was there working and stuff. And correct me if I'm wrong, Alex, who stole the show? Who was the one show stealer? The one person performance that blew everyone away? If you don't have, that's fine. You cut out, so maybe that's even better. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I just see Danny Elfman going into seeing Sick New World this year. No one expected Danny Elfman to be as much of a huge, amazing achievement live as it was.
That was so good. Yes, you were totally right.
It was just Danny Elfman, right? It wasn't Oingo Boingo, right?
It
was just Danny, but he covered a few Oingo Boingo hits, a few of his own. He did so many of the soundtrack musics. He did like an elongated Simpsons theme song with all the trippy Simpsons visuals, like full orchestra behind him and band. There was three drummers, like three drum sets set on stage side by side by side. So that type of big show.
Complete side story, but somewhat related. I was telling Alex this before the call while you were gone, but like I had just watched like a theater a couple towns over from me was doing a special screening of Tim Burton's Ed Wood for the 30th anniversary. And before that, they were doing a documentary of Tim Burton's like life and work. And they brought up Danny Elfman, like they got Danny Elfman to be part of the interview and all that stuff. And he's like talking about like how he had never scored anything before in his life before, like Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure.
Yeah.
And it was just like he and Tim Burton just like really connected super well. It's when it comes out, chat, I seriously watch it. It was actually like really fun to watch.
That's cool.
And yeah, Alex, sorry, that was just
that's
like,
okay. That's a cool one to see. And then Alex, what are your thoughts on which bands you would want to see for sure at Sick New World?
Ooh, I think I love Evanescence. I'm a sucker for Evanescence. So always stoked to see them. Ministry is going to be awesome. Arch Enemy. I haven't seen Arch Enemy in a long time. So that will be super rad. Who else do we have on here? Kitty. I always love seeing Kitty. Cradle of Filth is fun. Static X. I love what they've done with Zero. And just, you know, I know it's kind of funky and a lot of people really don't dig it, but I do. I like hearing the old stuff. I like the, you know, paying homage to Wayne.
He does a good job of covering the system, like Wayne's voice with all that too. So
totally. So that's going to be fun. So I think those are going to be my tops.
Very cool. Also, Kitty's music video for Fire was at Sick New World 2024, like recorded live. I was in it several times. It was kind of cool to see. So again, all the information's online. And now we take a side discussion. We're going to play a little game with Alex and Rowan. Guess the ticket prices. And this is where the side discussion happens.
Again, our price is rising it like, you know, we can't go over.
Yes. Let's make it that rule so it's safe. So let's be as fair as possible because we won't do one of them. I think, Alex, you already looked at VIP.
Yeah.
Okay, so we won't do
free VIP.
I know, but she didn't look at anything else, though. She didn't know we were playing the game. I mean, like, that's more on me. Right. So, okay. General admission. How much for one general admission ticket where you get access, porter potties, and you can buy food and stand around? Just one.
600.
Okay.
Say 320.
Okay. Winner is Alex, $399, so $400.
Yes. Oh my
God. $399 plus taxes, which is going to be a lot, but still. That's
all the bands I'm seeing, they're charging way too much. If a festival is charging like three, like how much like I had to pay to just see like one act or whatever, that's insane.
Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, that's only one ticket, and you have to get out there. So,
yeah.
That is a little bit different. I mean, Sick New World can't control where everyone lives. That's not their issue, so... VIP. So Rowan, only you for this one. VIP. How much for a VIP ticket?
Okay. What was it? $390 for general admission. I'm going to keep my answer. $600 for a VIP.
You're not over. $650. So you're actually pretty close.
Okay. I'll take that.
So VIP, if it opens up, each VIP ticket gets performances all day of multiple stages, blah, blah, blah. Access to exclusive VIP lounge, preferred viewing areas, which is the nicer areas with shade and stuff. Bars, concessions, and optional free like merch and stuff. Like you have your own private merch tents and stuff for the VIP people. Air-conditioned restrooms, which is a mercy. Dedicated lane at festival entrance, which is also a mercy. Alex, I think, can attest getting into the festival can sometimes be a bit of a beast.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's the one thing they always try to prep everyone. For the love of God, come early. And no one does because it's Vegas. So, yeah. Okay, there's also a general admission plus, which is between the two at $550, which doesn't have as nice as VIP, but you still get dedicated entry and dedicated lockers and blah, blah, blah. Then we get into the riches, the wealthy. Platinum tickets starting at $1,800 a piece.
Oh, good God. Wow.
So you get all the above. Complimentary. Complimentary curated bites and hors d'oeuvres, all inclusive beer, wine, cocktails, and non-alcoholic beverages with the Platinum Lounge. Complimentary beer and wine in Vegas in that sun all day. You are asking for trouble from rich people, but whatever. You're paying for it, whatever. Transportation between stages, that's a new one.
Pool, at least, you know?
I don't know.
Go to the wad through the crowds or whatever.
It's a cool idea, but like that's what leads me also to believe, like I was saying, it's going to be a way different setup than last year. Way different.
It has to be.
It has to be. Also, what's the transportation? Like, if you've been to those grounds before, Like they can't set up little they can't set up little trams, and if it's golf carts, boy, is that going to be a weird look. Like the long golf cart trails, like at the zoo, when you have like little kiddie train, that type of thing. I don't know what that's going to entail. I'm sure more info is going to come. I can't imagine it's going to be like the hand cabs, you know, like the people just running you along. I can't imagine it's going to be that. But again, that's a lot because there's a lot of walking and standing around at Sick New World. So that is probably a lot of it. You also get a commemorative Sick New World Platinum VIP Laminate, a premium festival gift. No idea what that is. Private locker, VIP concierge team. So I think that means like you could like push a button or call and they'll bring you something or get you help or whatever. I don't know. Yeah.
So it's just rooms at a Sick New World.
It's the butler bell.
Get a little bell.
Tell Queens of the Stone Age to speed it up. I want you Metallica.
Turn it down, please.
Yes. So,
tell Queens of the Stone Age, I want to hear Song for the Dead again.
Yes. Oh, there you go. And then all that. And then here's the thing. That's the most expensive ticket so far. What they had last year were the cabanas, like the actual premium tents where you could rent out. Like you get a group of people and rent out. Then you have unlimited food, alcohol, in perfect shade with perfect, like a good view of the main stage. Those cabanas went for $20,000. They were bought out by celebrities, athletes, things like that last year. But again, if you go in with people, say it's like a max of 10 people, it's $2,000 a person. That's still a lot.
A lot.
That's not including hotel, flight, getting there. Yeah. So if you have money and you really, really want to run it down on people, go to Sick New World and have someone carry you around on their back because you get personal transportation.
Can I just say, though, if you do that, you would just be like the biggest, like, you would just have like the biggest balls there. You just have like just being transported around.
Wouldn't you be worried of getting pelted with a beer can or a Monster Energy can at that point?
No, but like the same time, too, it's like, I am better than you, you plebeians, you brokies. So,
again, a wrestler calls them, the people in the cheap seats calls them the poors. So you pours in the cheap seats. Can you hear me? That's what he does. So
yeah, it's like, oh yeah, you may try to take a cheap shot of me with your beer can. If you're gonna miss, so now you have to spend like $15 for a new one.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing too that bothers me a little bit. Those GA tickets for $400, you don't get food or paid for drinks or nothing. You can bring in your empty water bottle to get free water. That's it. And food, Luke. Yeah.
How do you feel about that monster?
Well, I said it before and I'll say it again. Paying $8 for a cup of Monster on Ice probably is the most outrageous thing I've ever seen for festival gouging. And I know that's not Sick New World's idea. It's across the board. But what is wrong with people? So
$8.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a can.
No, they don't give you the can. They give you a cup and they pour it right in front of you like you're a toddler. So,
yeah.
So yeah,
you know, half of it, it's like ice, by the way.
It was filled with ice. And like the other thing is, too, all the food trucks are usually different. Like they have the separate food trucks come and they have their own little booth. They can't control that. But the food trucks know what they're doing. I think one of them was like the hot, like a $20 hot dog, like one of the gourmet hot dogs.
That's more egregious than the monster.
So like, but we put nice chili and cheese on it. First of all, that chili came from a Hormel can. The cheese was Kraft, and the hot dog was Oscar Mayer at best. So,
yeah.
Gourmet.
So, $8 for Monster on Ice. That's monstrous. I don't even know if you meant that on purpose. Just like a talk about a monster. Okay. However, we shall see. Once I get the prices and deals and see the information on what the extra special exclusive seating and cabanas are for Sick New World, I'll pass along the information so that way we all, the riches, can get their money in there for it. So you can hold a big Rocked banner saying Rocked sent us, because we won't be there for that. We're not paying. We can't chip in for that. Sorry, guys.
Yes. So,
thank you.
Just, we're just asking our chat to just do our promotion work for us.
That's fun. I'll ask people. If I'm going to ask people to share links, I can ask them to hold up a sign if they already have $20,000 to blow. That's fine. Also, thank you to Ghost KIAA and White Asylum for your super chats. We'll get to them at the end, and we will give you your own random festival. So we got a little
Asylum Fest 2 coming up.
Yes, all right. And a news with Ghost Festival, Ghost Kia. There we go. So we got two of those coming up also. As we move on, a bit of unfortunate news that dropped today that I was surprised with. We'll be brief about this. The last like 8 or 9 years, vinyl sales have been carrying bands. I mean, they have been helping dramatically for sales and getting bands revenue that they would not have made otherwise, because they're not making it on streaming at all. And touring only gets you so much if people are not buying merch. Vinyl has helped a ton for pre-orders and things. Well, 2024 in the United States has not been so great for vinyl. Vinyl sales have dropped 33% in 2024, and this has been advertised by many different people. In the UK and other parts of the country, it's fine, but that's a massive drop in the US for vinyl sales. And I'm... Any thoughts, any suggestions why this would happen?
Look... It really does suck, truly. But at the same time, too, vinyl does just like practicality wise, vinyl only does appeal to collectors and super fans of bands. You know, just like you can't deny we live in an age where literally you can have any song you want downloaded on your phone in like 2 seconds. So, you know, you really have to go out of your way to get vinyl records, and you got to get a record player, too. And that the cost adds up fast. So it's like, it sucks, but at the same time, too, I can't say I'm all that surprised, you know?
Yeah.
I honestly think it's just because of money.
Yeah. I think both of you are in the ballpark. Go ahead, Alex.
No, that was it. It's just because of money. I mean, the cost, like Rowan says, of vinyl is an extra cost, and it's not a convenient, you know, method of getting your music. So I think when it's like, okay, do I need groceries this week or do I want to go buy this new album on vinyl?
Again, it's like groceries. Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Again, it's kind of like vinyl as a medium has kind of become a collector item. And I'm saying this as someone who collects vinyls of the bands I really like, the albums sure. I play to death already. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think part of it also is because the pre-ordering thing through a vinyl, that's a cool idea. And I like it when bands limit that. That kind of makes it more rare. But everyone's just burnt out on it also because we're stacking up these vinyls for the last 9 years. And now, like we're saying, can we do this or do we need to get another job to support our vinyl addiction?
Especially when they keep re-releasing the same vinyls, but like in different like editions or different pressings or something.
And that's
like,
what I think sucks. Hey. Yeah.
Oh, hey, here's Hybrid Theory, but we have like 4 different variations of like the actual disc. Collect them all. Gotta catch them all.
So that leads in to what Green Day has done in the exact opposite direction of vinyl. They have demastered Dookie for the 30th anniversary. What does demastering an album mean? Well, they put Dookie on old technology, including doorbells, toothbrushes, Game Boy cartridges, and a Teddy Ruxpin. That is not a joke.
How compressed is it going to be on a Game Boy, by the way?
It's going to be all 8-bit and weird. And you know what? They knew exactly what they were doing. Oh, it's not going to show it. I hate when websites do that. Just post it there. Anyway, I was going to try to show you guys like the image of it. But of course, billboards being obnoxious with a website. There are so many of these little items that they really did it with. And I think it's a great idea. I hope that it works out well, especially if there's like remodded technology. Big Mouth Bass, remember those? Dookie's going to be on that.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. The Teddy Ruxpin, the Green Bay. I'm playing the Instagram thing right now. Old gramophone, the way it was never meant to be heard is the big sales pitch. I got to say, that's pretty genius, and I like it as a novelty. If you're going to do something completely out of the ballpark, do something ridiculous then. I'm fine with that.
Well, so just get like the Teddy Ruxpin doll, and I want to get that, and I want to like scare all the old people in my family.
With Dookie? With a song like, Welcome
Dookie
to Paradise?
Coming out of a teddy bear. How awesome is that?
Welcome to Paradise coming out of an 80s teddy bear. Or what was it, Big Mouth Bass? Like it's on the wall, you walk by it and Basket Case starts playing.
Just like, do you have the time?
I haven't seen the toothbrush. Is it like that one where we used to brush our teeth with the music?
Yeah, I think it's like it has like a little radio and like it, like you could hear it through your mouth because like the ENT stuff. Yeah. So
where they were like, kids, brush your teeth, listen to music at the same time. It's fun.
It's like, but I'm not brushing my teeth for 5 minutes. What are you talking about? Yeah. And you got to put like, got to put a double A in there too for your electric toothbrush. So,
hey, they had lollipops like that too. Where the hell's my Dookie lollipop?
That's true. The spinner thing that would spin it for you. Yeah. You're pretty lazy. Oh, you can't even like spin the candy a little bit in your mouth. Yeah. So
It's the same people who have like $1,800 to blow on the premium tickets at Sick New World who just can't be bothered to do literally anything.
And they have the automatic lollipop spinners with their not even like in their mouth. They have their tongue out like, just letting it spin. That's insane. Yikes. So get your Dookie Demastered collection now. Again, no other band is going to be able to say they have that. That's pretty smart.
Who knows? Maybe they'll start a trend or something. Again, Teddy Ruxpin doll, get that for your son or something like that. You get like for your 5-year-old. He's like, where he doesn't want to go to bed. You give him the doll and just starts, it sings it to sleep or something.
Green Day is terrifying now. Maybe. So we're going to be brief about this next story because it hasn't happened yet. When We Were Young Festival, the other festival owned by the same company as Sick New World, happens this weekend. The emo kids are going to be all in an uproar as some of their favorite albums are played front to back, minus one. Now, this was a story that came out that was real unfortunate, and I'd be a little upset about it, too. Coheed and Cambria was on the list. They were scheduled to play one of their big albums front to back. Now, if you know anything about Coheed and Cambria, their albums are a touch long, usually over an hour. These sets are 30 minutes apiece. They decided not to tell Coheed and Cambria until this last week that they will not be able to play their full album in entirety.
Yay.
So, I don't know. I'd be a little disappointed if I was the band and everything else. However, set times are here. Some of them are short, but all these bands, or most of them, not all of them, like Fall Out Boy's not doing it, are going to play big albums front to back, including My Chemical Romance, who are probably going to make a lot of elder emos and millennials cry their eyes out.
Well, the All-American Rejects dropped off of that festival, too.
They did. So there have been a few shakeups, to say the least.
I've seen Devil Wears Prada, like fingers crossed they play Dead Throne.
There's a list of what albums they're playing for each one. Like it's already on there. So, yeah, I mean, there's good bands on here. There's definitely stuff that would be worth the trip if you're going. It's not too expensive for me to market for this one for something like this. But at the same time, I understand that this would be someone's bread and butter. I totally get they would love it. So that being said, not everything else is going okay in Vegas, though. This weekend, or this upcoming weekend, you'll have When We Were Young Festival. This is the third? If I'm correct, it's the third.
Yeah.
Okay, the third. We got news today that also in Las Vegas, it's not exactly safe to be a musician. Jake E. Lee was shot multiple times while walking his dog. Now, I don't like to make posts and stories usually about something super dangerous about this. YouTube hates it. However, we already know that Jake Lee, former guitarist for Ozzy Osbourne, will be okay. He will expect to make full recovery. The hospital said that. His party said that, like people representing him. So, yeah, Vegas is not as safe as many people want it to be. And maybe Billy Joe Armstrong was onto something. So
everyone go to Sick New World. Be safe.
Yes. Yes. And like it's on the Strip, like it's right next to the Strip too. So like this is downtown Vegas. But yeah, guitarist who is now a member of Red Dragon Cartel was walking his dog in Vegas at the time of the random shooting. Pupper is okay as well. I would not have told this story if Doggo was not okay. So, right, Ivan? He's asleep. He's not listening. However,
good.
I know.
Don't listen.
Yeah. So I just wanted to point this out. This came out this afternoon. This is apparently a bonkers story and as random as it sounds. This was apparently a random shooting at night in Vegas, and this guy gets shot repeatedly. So, dog walking is now the new active dangerous activity.
Well, Vegas is just so weird and random for these things, because what was Steve Buscemi a couple weeks ago, or a few months ago at this point, just got randomly clocked in downtown Vegas.
Yes, I think it was Vegas. Remember that. Yes.
Yeah, there are just some cities you really just genuinely are just better off staying far the hell away from altogether.
my tips for Vegas, and I mean this to anyone going, because I like just when I went there a couple months ago, whatever you're planning on doing, get a hotel a couple miles away from the strip. That's all you got to do. And you'll be a lot safer no matter what your activity is, because you'll have somewhere to go away from the strip, a hotel away from the strip, traveling away from the strip at night, a lot safer, and you won't have as many problems like that.
And I'll give you my tips as, you know, smaller woman. Stay in large groups all the time.
Yes. Vegas definitely has issues of, how do I say this? Being unsafe for smaller ladies. Is that a fair way to say it?
Good way to say it. That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, I really had to say that delicately. Yeesh.
You did
great. Sort of funny, also embarrassing Vegas story. The only time I ever went to Vegas, I was just walking along the strip with my family and a prostitute was like trying to advertise herself to me. I was 16 at the time and my mom was like right next to me. And it was just like I had not prayed for death harder than at that moment.
Those Vegas ladies, they will take the money. So
yeah,
it's rough. It's rough. But then again, the Vegas guys will too. I shouldn't say just the Vegas ladies. They're totally Vegas male prostitutes that would do the exact same thing. Surprised there haven't actually. So
have fun at When We Were Young this weekend, Vegas.
Yes, exactly.
And new world.
Oh, okay. Dark joke before we get to the tours and albums. All these older millennials, and not even the elder emos, walking out crying their eyes out, the eyeliner running off after hearing My Chemical Romance. All these sad people, but with smiles on their faces, walking out on the strip at midnight in Vegas. Those prostitutes are just going to line them all up and just start choosing all these sad people. I can make you feel better.
Oh, those prostitutes are going to be like, I'm going to pay my rent tonight.
Teenagers don't scare the crap out of me. You know, you're not okay. I'll make you okay. Okay.
Oh, see. God. It's gonna hang on.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I'll teach you.
I can't hit it fast enough.
I'll take you to see more than the marching band.
God. We are so gonna get to monetizing this one. All
right. Someone in the chat just said, wow, this took a turn. sorry for ruining When We Were Young Festival. I told you that's just how it is sometimes. I still think that's funny, and I doubt that's gonna happen.
I don't want any of these ones. They look really sad.
I know.
No thanks, herpes free. I'm reading a chat.
My wife just said, hold on, everyone. I'll just go turn Luke's computer off real fast. So we now go to upcoming tours. This up like that were announced this week. Alex, you have any tours you'd like to announce, promote, etc.?
We've got a lot of tours, actually. Okay. So Jerry Cantrell just announced his 2025 North American tour starting in January. That's going to be a ton of fun.
Yes.
That the new single's doing really well. A lot of people are digging it. So it's going to be cool to see him live. We've also got Parkway Drive. They just announced the 2025 European tour featuring The Art is Murder and The Amity Affliction, celebrating 20 years of Parkway Drive, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's rad. We've also got Stick to Your Guns and Nasty. They were just added to Paleface Swiss's North American tour. That's looking for a late March start. We've got Chamber, Justice for the Damned, and From Joy. They just announced some U.S. tour dates kicking off next month. We've got, let's see, Duran Gray. We just talked about them because they're going to be on Sick New World.
Yep.
So that's actually part of them announcing their first U.S. shows since 2019.
Yeah.
So this is going to be super cool. It looks like they're going to be focusing on the 2003 album Vulgar, as well as the 2005 album Withering to Death. So three chances to see them in the U.S. this year, I guess.
Bright, flowery music, everyone. Nice springtime, bubbly music for everybody.
And we've got Creed and Seven Dust. They just announced three shows to end 2024, leading up to and including a New Year's Eve show.
Where is that New Year's Eve show? Do you remember?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. Boy, if I'm wrong, you guys can own me on it. I'm pretty sure that was in the city of the podcast, Las Vegas.
Is it really?
I think. I could be wrong on that. If I'm wrong, fine. Call me out on it.
We are gonna travel to Vegas one day, and it's gonna be like the gates of hell or something like that.
It is in Vegas.
I was right, everyone in the chat. Thank you very much. Ring in the new year with higher and with arms wide open. It'll be a big, nice mess.
Coliseum. Woohoo!
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a big show then, too, if it's there at the Coliseum. Yeah. Okay, there
and
you go.
Creed and Seven Dust. So
yeah,
be-
I know. And Seven Dust is a blast, but also, I can't knock Creed for knocking it out of the ballpark for this past year's tour. I mean, they made so much money on that tour. So,
dude, they had their own cruise, the Creed cruise.
Two. And they have another
one
coming in this year.
They were in the Super Bowl ads last year.
They were in Super Bowl ads. And they also got sponsored and paid up big for the Texas Rangers for their World Series run last year. Creed's doing okay. They're doing okay. So you can have all the memes you want, but still, they're doing fine. So, Rowan, for upcoming albums coming out this week on the 18th of October, 2024.
All right. So, first of all, we have Asking Alexandria with Where Do We Go From Here. It's more of a, it's like a remix EP. Okay. So, it's like, it's nothing new. Yeah. It's just more like remixes. But hey, still cool, still rock. MC5 is coming out with Heavy Lifting. Really, really old band. Yeah. So, hey, if we got any, like, you know, anyone here appreciates the classics? There you go. Jerry Cantrell's fourth studio solo album, I Want Blood, is coming out. I think I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong here, it was like one of our first episodes that we talked about, like, he just dropped a single off that album. And now it's out now. Yep, so it's going to be out. Yep. Yeah. Very cool. And it's not upcoming. It dropped today, but screw you. I want to talk about it anyway. Slaughter to Prevail released Behelit, and they kind of released it as like a collection of all the singles since Viking of 2023, which I only bring up because they've been teasing a new album at least since summer of 2023. So now I'm wondering, are all those like singles just going to stay on that, I guess you could say EP now, but like...
Could be.
Or... will they also be featured on the album? Will it be like a kind of a collection of sorts, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, just something to consider.
And as it is, Rowan's turn for Song of the Week for the podcast. Is that your choice for Song of the Week?
Behelit? Yeah. I'm going to be honest, chat. Before today, it was going to be 7 hours after Violet's Radiance. But then when Behelit dropped, I am not joking. I have been listening to it nonstop all day. Like all day. It's just like, it's so good. By the way, if anyone here is a Berserk fan, the manga, it's all about that. It's a complete, it's just like a giant reference to Berserk. So yeah, it's just awesome.
Fair enough. We got a good list. Now we got to move a little bit quickly because not only do we have a random festival to book for hitting the like goal. Thank you so much for hitting the like button, everybody. We got two other festivals to hit up, and with some super chats, we can go somewhat brief with these, but we'll make sure we get them called out. From Ghost Kia, which Rise Against album is each one of your favorites? If you don't have one, that's okay. Just say you don't have one.
Yeah, I'm not that familiar with them to have like a favorite album. I'm sorry.
Personal for me, just because it was one I jumped on board with years ago, was Appeal to Reason. And that might be like the least politically charged everything from Rise Against, but that was the big jumping on point for me for that band. So going back to around 2008-ish, that was my favorite. They're on tour right now. They've almost completely sold out their tour for this fall, winter as well. So hopefully you got tickets for that if you want to see them in the United States. Alex, do you have one or you pass it on this one?
I don't have a favorite Rise Against album. I appreciate a lot of singles, though.
Fair enough. That means Appeal to Reason is the winner by default. So there we go. Also from White Asylum, I'm so hyped for Sick New World. I kind of want to know if we can make a better one on Rock or Flop. Well, White Asylum, we're going to get your shot right now. So first, we got to set this up. It's time to build a random festival, which sometimes goes great and awful. But we got three nights, 1, 2, and 3. The first night, the standard Rocked Fest. Night 2, Ghost Kia Fest. Night 3, Asylum Fest. Everyone ready for it?
Yep.
Okay.
I was talking about it earlier, but they are going to be out for blood if Disturbed is on the list.
They are definitely, definitely in the file. So there's worse in the file and better in the file. You guys know. Ivan, wish us luck. First up for Rocked Fest. This is a randomly booked festival for 5 bands on each, and then we'll poll the full audience after. First up, Rancid, 90s punk.
Okay.
Right.
I'm fine with that. They just played on the tour with Green Day and Smashing Pumpkins. Fun band. I'm totally for that. Number 2. Go ahead.
Oh no, what was I gonna say? Like, wasn't there a guitarist? I forget his name, but wasn't he performing with No FX on their like farewell show?
Yeah, I think he made an appearance like on the very last. Yeah. He was there with everyone too, Rancid. So, yep. Number two. Churches. Boy, is this festival already all over the place. Churches is Scottish electronic alt pop, super upbeat and poppy. They did an amazing song with Robert Smith from The Cure a couple of years ago. A lot of great stuff. Very different from Rancid, but still awesome band.
Real quick, chat saying there's no image. Sorry, man.
Not your fault. I know what's going on. Bam. You see Churches? There you go. I'm not saying it was operator error. I'm saying it was the jokes from the My Chemical Romance fans getting attracted by prostitutes in Vegas that was rotting my brain. That's why I didn't hit the button properly.
You did it.
I'm just saying maybe there was a reason for it happening. I don't know. Also, a lot of people saying Churches. Yeah. Number three. Vended. Sons of Slipknot.
Oh, OK. I'm into that. You know,
they had a good album to come out this year, like just a little bit over a month ago.
Yeah, no, seriously, they're holding their own. You know, it's more than just Sons of Slipknot, you know.
Very true. Awesome. Fun live. Griff's got a great voice, too. You can shout it out just like Dad. Number four. Trivium.
Oh, okay. That's a seller for me.
There you go. So it's starting to flesh out a little bit. It's still a little random, but still, there's some good names with this as well. Trivium's always a blast live as well.
And number five. And Trivium, you got like a little bit of like consistency.
Yeah, definitely. And number five, Steel Panther. Oh. I don't know how to feel about that.
Palate cleanser, I guess.
I guess that will see, that'll do something to your palate. I don't know if cleanse is the right word, but your palate will definitely have an effect after that. So would you go to Rockfest? Steel Panther, Trivium. Who ends that night? Trivium?
Steel Panther, yeah. Is like the joke, maybe. That'd be kind of fun,
I guess. I just asked that as a comment. Excuse me. I need to make a poll. Start a poll. There we go. Poll is up for this one. 30 seconds, please, because we got to get moving for the other two festivals. Thank you again. Alex, would you go to Rockfest headlined by whatever this is?
Yes, I would.
Okay, you would go? Okay. Rowan, would you go to Rockfest?
Yeah.
Okay. I would go also. There's more than enough to warrant it for me. Once you've seen Steel Panther as a photographer, you know exactly what to expect, and it's always going to be cyclical. However, there's definitely nothing on here that would make me go, oh, heck no, I'm not sticking around for this. So,
well, Steel Panther's fun.
They're an intentionally fun band. It's a bit, you know, you have to understand what you're getting into. So, not bad. Not bad for a first round, you know. This also sets the bar because for whatever reason, the paid for festivals always go way better. So let's hope that's what happens for Ghost Kia Fest and Asylum Fest. Yes.
This is day one of our festival.
That's true. Yes. This is Rocked Day. Okay. With. We got 85% saying yes. Very nice. We now go to day two, Ghost Kia Fest. Thank you so much, Ghost Kia, for the super chat. Very much appreciated. Your personalized random festival. Band number one, Kaleo. Now, that's a throwback a little bit. 2016, they're an Icelandic band that had the song Way Down We Go that's been played in roughly 5,000 commercials. Let's see if I can do it.
Way down we go.
I had to do it away from the mic. Definitely a solid band with a solid song. I don't know. I didn't keep up with Kaleo after 2016, but still. Number two, Crown the Empire. Metalcore right out of Texas.
I like them.
Okay.
There you go. Number three, Sabaton. We're not going to power metal. It's getting increasingly heavier. Sabaton, yeah, is World War One historian metal. That is exactly what they are, by the way. Number four, Fallout Boy. Would not have seen that
this
coming.
This really is all over the place.
Would not have seen that coming, everybody. Not one bit.
A little bit of something for everybody.
At least we got like one heavy hitter now in this day.
That's true. That is a proper headliner as well. So, and number five, Spirit Box.
Okay. Kind of won me over at the end there.
It's random, but at the same time, this is perfect radio station festival in the middle, like the Midwest, that just gets what they can. So, you know what? Ghost Kia Fest has something.
Mm-hmm.
So, Alex, would you go to Ghost Kia Fest?
Yes, I would.
Rowan.
Oh, yeah, why not?
Yeah, I would too. Fallout Boy.
Spirit Box.
Who else do we got? Sabaton.
Leo.
Kaleo.
And the Texas Metalcore Band.
Gotcha. Crown. The Empire.
See, those guys are rad. Those guys and Spirit Box, that makes sense.
Yes. Even Sabaton kind of fits adjacent to those as well. Kaleo would be the opener as people are getting in, just to be real soft and nice, peaceful walk in, you know. Oh, my wife just said, sign me up for this one. She's a big Sabaton fan recently.
Nice.
I think it works. Fall Out Boy closing out after like Sabaton and Spirit Box. It is a shift, but people show up.
This is how you do it. You just get whoever's routing through the area at the time and then make it happen.
Exactly. And also, we're trying to make money from the festivals, not so much make the perfectly aligned festival with all the same style of bands. We're trying to make money. So, to the poll, I think this one was going to be higher. Maybe if YouTube decides. Nice. 91%. All right, Ghost Kia Fest is a rousing success. We now go to day three, Asylum Fest. Here we go. Number one, Dragon Force.
Fun
video game nerd metal. Power metal, that's exactly what it is. This photo was taken when they played a song about Skyrim. So,
I mean, like, Through the Fire and Flames, now tell me an instance where that would not get people like amped up.
It's true. Number two, Stone Sour. They're returning to perform at Asylum Fest.
Nice.
That's going to get people to show up right there for that. So, number three, Of Monsters and Men. Another Icelandic band, oddly enough, that I have loved for years. So,
power metal to hard rock to folk. That is a transition.
You know what? Fine. I'm already going Stone Sour and Of Monsters and Men. Yuck. Yeah. You're going to see me there front row. So number four, Hatebreed. They've come up before. That fits a little bit more with Stone Sour.
Mm-hmm.
And number five, that's going to be the nice peaceful break. You know, they're good. They're so good. Number five, qualifier, Guns N' Roses, but they're 45 minutes late. We have to add another band.
Okay.
Asylum Fest, because Guns N' Roses took their sweet time as a headliner. You're getting an extra band for day three. Band number six, Nickelback.
God. Oh.
A party now.
Well, yeah. Asylum Fest, I'm not saying you booked one amazing festival, but I'm going to per se, you have something so unique, it'll never be duplicated.
Unique. One of a kind.
Yeah. Yes, that this is definitely one of a kind. So what? Ooh, Corey and Chad would fight over who gets to play before Guns N' Roses. And that's going to be an awesome fist fight.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think of that. They feuded in the past. Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
I'm up for seeing the fist fighting back, though. I already know what side I'm on, but that's besides the point.
Didn't Corey say Chad looked like a foot or something?
Yes. Chad started saying Stone Sour and Corey Taylor's never had a number one hit. And funnily enough, 2 weeks later, Stone Sour had another number one hit. It's like, oh, come on. And then Corey said Chad looks like a foot. So would you go to Asylum Fest? Guns N' Roses. The budget on this thing is massive. Nickelback. Stone Sour. Of Monsters and Men. Hatebreed. And what was the first one?
Oh my god.
What happened?
Dragon Force.
Dragon Force.
Oh my god. It took us a sec.
I have to I have to like shorten it a little bit because it's too long to put in one poll question. There we go. Perfect. Would you go to Asylum Fest, Alex? Rowan?
Yes. Yeah. Honestly, potentially minus Monsters and Men, this really kind of does feel like divorced dad rock the festival. With at least
Guns N' Roses
band,
and Nickelback
know?
Are definitely divorced dad rock. Stone Sour's not, but still.
It's a good, it's a gateway maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. But also, of Monsters and Men is, what's that like?
Monsters and Men is the exception.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, guys. I'm in for that, but I'm super biased. Also,
no, I like Monsters and Men too, man. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah. I just want to say this. Guns N' Roses and Nickelback in the same backstage, that trailer and that backstage scene is going to be such a nightmare, a gross, weird nightmare. Yuck.
It'd be entertaining though. If you can get like a hidden camera like all around the place and all that stuff, that'd be amazing.
That poor cameraman. Gonna have to put a poncho on him. Like a biohazard suit.
You just hide GoPros everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. Just have them remote. Yeah. Man, oh man. Like whatever the budget is for a Asylum Fest, add another $50,000 just to pay the cleaning crew after that festival day. Whoa.
Just waited that's so long because Guns N' Roses was so late. We forgot
45
they even
minutes.
Opened the show.
Exactly, right? And we were just waiting and waiting and waiting. So let's find out. I know I'm going. I don't even care what everyone else is saying. 82% yes. 3 days in a row. And we booked a festival with Guns N' Roses and Nickelback, and people still want to go to it. Keep in mind, these festivals like days like this may not happen. Guns N' Roses might just say, screw it. Nickelback might have a fist fight, try to get a fight with Stone Sour. We don't know. But this festival worked out eventually. So
just like knock on wood. But when was the last? It's been a while since we had like a festival just in general where people were like, we're not going. You know?
That sucked. Yeah, it has. We've been very fortunate. We've had a couple ones like this. Like if Nickelback would have popped up on another one, I think that would have swayed people. But the fact that it was Guns N' Roses, Nickelback got added to another festival that already had bands, I think it works. So,
yeah.
You know, Nickelback doesn't deserve all the hate, especially in 2024. They put on one of the best shows I've ever seen. And it was a show I accidentally attended.
Two comments. One, I've only heard good things about their live performance. Only good things. Number two, how do you accidentally attend a Nickelback concert?
Believe it or not, I was in Vegas.
You just walked in and be like,
wow,
oh crap, I'm
Vegas really does have a chokehold on this podcast. Woof. Hey,
this episode brought to you by Vegas.
Oh no, I don't know if I want that to be brought to be put with my podcast. We were paid by Vegas. What does that mean?
I didn't say that.
We were paid by the city of Vegas.
Woof.
In the weirdest, in the weirdest promotional bit known to man.
Yes. So, before we close out, thank you so much. A special thanks to everyone who hit the like button, Ghost Kia and White Asylum for your super chats. Very thankful. Glad you guys got fun, unique festival days, as well as everyone that's been spreading the link. Again, thank you to Factor for sponsoring this podcast episode. Link in the description if you want to sign up with a huge discount. It also helps support the channel. Alex, any thoughts or anything you want to promote before we get to wrapping up?
Oh, I think we've touched on everything.
Awesome. Rowan?
I think we're good. Surprisingly, we got through everything with very minimal like disturb jokes. So
yes,
good work, everybody.
Once My Chemical Romance started, my brain just froze. Sorry, that's on me. That's 100% on me. So everyone's aware, if you have early access, a YouTube membership, or if you renew it, or if you're on Patreon, you have early access to 10 divorced dad rock bands and a definition of what divorced dad rock is. It'll be a lot. It's the dumbest video I've done in quite some time. I hope you all enjoy it. The people that have seen it so far seem to enjoy it, like gave good compliments to it. So I'll take that for what it's worth. Thank you all for tuning in. It's been a fun Tuesday. Alex, do you have anything you would like to close with and leave us for this week?
Why are vampires bad at art?
They suck.
I got nothing. Why are vampires bad at art?
They're only able to draw blood.
Goodness.